This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. So we cover a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley, and a big part of what happens in this area relates to agriculture. So periodically, we like to check in with Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. And especially for those of you who stay inside the city limits of whatever city you're in, don't get out to the farm area as much. You may not be aware of what's going on. And here we are late October now, but still a lot going on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, Kyle. Yeah, there is quite a bit going on still. Whether you're farming or gardening, there's still plenty to do.
So well, let's talk about gardeners first. I looked around my neighborhood. I'm not sure anybody that it seems like a lot of the gardeners that live around me are done for the season. They quit maybe about a month ago, but more still going on, huh?
Sure. That's kind of up to the gardener about what they would actually like to do with their garden. You can extend the season, depending on what you grow, into November or all the way through the year with crops. It's just with those later season crops, like garlic, for example, you won't be harvesting them till the spring or the summer.
And some people don't want to necessarily be outside doing this if it's raining quite frequently.
Yeah, that is a big deal. With winter crops, one of the things that we always talk about is, will you go access that area when the weather is bad, when thinking about where to plant?
Yeah, so you've got, your plants come up, your crop is ready, and it's raining and hailing, and then you look around and realize if you don't go get it, why'd you put all that effort into it?
Yeah, absolutely, especially, you know, in the spring after we've planted some of these things like leeks, for example. It may be nasty out when you go to harvest them, but it's worth it, I think.
Now, what about things that you can actually plant this time of year? I mean, are there kind of some restrictions on that?
There are some restrictions. Not all plants, vegetables, that sort of thing, do well in colder temperatures in terms of germination. So, for example, obviously, things like eggplants and tomatoes were sort of done for the year. However, you can still plant garlic, you can still plant leeks, you can still plant onions. You can do some of the colder crops, like lettuce actually does pretty well, spinach, kale, those things. I'm growing mustard and collards at home right now. And this is also a great time to plant your spring bulbs.
You're growing mustard?
Yes.
Now, again, somebody's going to say, that comes out of a bottle.
So mustard is typically, you can grow it for the leaves or for the seeds. I'm growing it for the leaves, but if you're going to make your own mustard, you'd want to grow it for the seeds.
Now, what about tomatoes? Too late for those?
Yeah, it's a little bit too late for tomatoes.
And green beans, things like that?
Yeah, well, sort of. If you're going to put in something like a cover crop, and a cover crop is putting something in that you typically don't harvest to keep living roots in the soil to both fix nutrients and reduce erosion. You can plant something like fava beans, and they actually do really well over the winter, and you can harvest them in the spring.
Now, do a lot of people do that just to kind of keep their soil enhanced?
Yeah, it's a really good idea. If you have the availability to put in a cover crop, I always recommend doing it. If you're not growing something else, that just keeps your soil where it is, which is really the most important part. But it can also help fix nitrogen, add biomass. If you have too much nutrient in your soil, it can help scavenge nutrients too.
So could that also, say you've got any kind of slope, even if it just settle, does that really help keep things in place versus if nothing's growing and you get a lot of rain?
Tremendously, yes. If you're growing on any kind of slope, having living roots in the ground is essential to keeping the soil that you currently have.
Now, for people that are out in the more rural, bigger farms, what's going on this time of year?
Yeah, so some of the permanent crop folks are still harvesting. So hazelnuts are through just beginning harvest or midway through, depending on the varieties you're at. Some folks are starting to harvest their apples. And then also, we're starting to see some cover crops going in on the larger farmsteads, too.
And I would imagine that they are particularly, when you put all that financial investment and everything, they really want to keep things in good shape, even if it's just a cover crop.
Absolutely. Part of sustainably farming is being able to continue farming that area for long periods of times, talking, you know, decades or longer, and helping keep that soil in place with something like a cover crop is a really good way to do that.
So if you aren't doing a cover crop, if you aren't planting things or don't want to plant things that would grow well this time of year, what do you do with that garden space?
Yeah. So if we're not doing a cover crop or we're not growing crops on purpose like garlic or onions, it's a good idea to cover your soil. So something like wood chips or leaf mulch, even cardboard, those are all good choices.
Cardboard.
Yeah. So when I talk about cardboard, typically I'm trying to avoid cardboard that's got ink on it, unless it's plant-based recyclable ink. And the goal there is to just cover the soil, reduce compaction from raindrops, which is a real thing. And I'm sort of semi-occultating that.
Occultation. No, there's a big word.
Yeah. Occultation is a fancy way for saying depriving the soil of sunlight and air, and that helps with weed control quite a bit.
Wow. Now, so it sounds like keeping those areas covered with something is maybe more important than a lot of people realize.
Yeah. Soil respiration, so the ability for the microbial community in the soil to breathe, is really important. But leaving soil bare is very detrimental.
Okay. So, and do you think a lot of people follow that, or do a lot of people let it go and then come back and have to put a lot of extra work into it next spring?
I think there's probably a little bit of both. There's a study out of Washington that showed soil loss over a period of 100 years on a particular farm, and that farm lost something like 5 feet worth of topsoil. So that takes a while, but it's really important to try to maintain that soil structure where you have it. And if you don't, it may not be super noticeable the first year, but over time, you're going to lose a lot of that quality soil.
Now, how much time do you get to spend out in the field, whether it's big farms or small farms?
I spend quite a bit of time out in the field, and I'm really lucky to have the position I have.
So what kinds of things do you see this time of year when you go out there?
So this time of year, we're looking at anything ranging from livestock production, fixing equipment, to what cover crop mixes should we be planting, how did the harvest go for hazelnuts, how are harvests going for apples, how did wine grape harvest go this year, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and talk about wine grape harvest. What do you know about that so far?
So far, things are sounding like most people got into their harvest and did okay. Still waiting on more news on where that's going to go.
Interesting. Well, and it sounded like weather was pretty cooperative.
Yes. We got pretty lucky. I didn't see a whole bunch of rain during harvest. There's always sort of a balance between accumulating bricks, which means how much sugar is in the grape, and harvesting before it starts to rain, because we end up with an issue called botrytis, which is a fungal disease, sometimes called noble rot.
Now, is anybody on the wine grape side, I mean, is harvest totally done?
It's probably close if it's not completely done. There might be some late varieties still going.
All right. And, of course, the area with so much land going to wine grape production is also one of the questions has been, there's a national thing that's been cropping up more lately about the fact that Americans, especially people in their 20s and 30s, are actually drinking less wine. And some of the wine growers locally have talked to me about being a little nervous about a, you know, potential oversupply problem at some point.
Yeah, that would be a better talking point for them. I'm more focused on how to actually grow the grapes.
But yeah, that's some of the data is out showing that younger folks don't drink as much.
Interesting.
Yeah. We got Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. More when we come back. The interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. We're talking agriculture in Douglas County and fall, the busy time of year. And you guys are, I mean, you're always busy with classes, workshops, things like that. What kinds of things are going on with Extension?
Yeah, we've got a bunch coming up. even though it seems like it's kind of getting to the time of year where it gets darker sooner and it might be a little bit worse outside, we still got plenty to do. So right now we're in the middle of Master Gardener training. We're actually getting towards the end of that. That'll finish on November 4th. And then 2 days later, we've got our next class, which is Navigating Farm Succession.
And that is, I'm told, becoming kind of a bigger deal. You've got farms that are maybe gone for generations, and when the farming family gets to a certain point, they look around and realize they need to figure out, you know, what's going to happen in 10, 15 years when they can't do it anymore or don't want to do it anymore. Do you have family members that want to take it over? Is this going to be the end and you sell it? And if you haven't really planned that out, sounds like, you know, things don't always turn out as well.
Yeah, so it's not always the most comfortable topic, but it is something that's important, thinking about what happens next, whether it's passing the farm on to the next generation, selling the farm, or whatever, putting it in a trust maybe. It's important to pay attention and have a plan for when that time comes.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody, I think over the summer, and their particular farm, I want to say at least 100 years, I think almost back to the 1800s, but the next generation, well, there really isn't a next generation.
Mm.
And so there isn't an interest, and they had to, you know, figure out what to do and maybe parcel it up because maybe somebody doesn't want as many acres as they have.
Right. There's a lot of options with a farm moving forward, and that's one of the reasons that we're partnering with the Oregon Ag Trust to teach this class. They're going to go through all of those options and how to navigate each one.
And just like estate planning, if you're just talking purely financial, obviously if you've got any kind of significant amount of land, that is its own financial question. That probably is a huge amount of your financial portfolio.
Yeah, and especially with farmland in Oregon, we're so lucky with how nice the soils that we have here to be able to grow. I know it sounds silly, but the soil quality on a farm definitely matters in terms of how much that farm is worth.
So how do people get involved in going to this Navigating Farm Succession workshop?
It's part of a larger series that we're doing. We're going through different topics in farming and farm succession. And you can go to the Extension website and sign up. It's from 9 to noon on November 6th, and it's free to attend.
And where will it be held?
That's going to be at the Extension office, 1134 Southeast Douglas Avenue here in Roseburg.
So what else is coming up?
So after that, we're moving into December. I'm going to do a pruning fruit trees class out in on Olalla Road. We're going to be looking at an orchard that we pruned last year. It's probably 3 to 5 years old now, and talk about how to keep those young trees healthy and producing fruit moving forward.
And would that be, for anybody that's doing fruit trees?
Yes, this is a fantastic class for anyone who's pruning fruit trees, and especially for folks who are pruning young fruit trees. So we'll show you how to train branches to get what you want, how to look at lateral pruning and open vase pruning. Those are different pruning styles that we use typically for fruit trees. It's going to be about an hour and a half from noon to 1:30. That one's also free to sign up for, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, and from what I've been able to learn over the years, I mean, a lot of people's success or lack of success goes into what they've done or not done pruning-wise.
Oh, for sure. Pruning sets the stage for a successful harvest next year. There's obviously things that go between pruning and harvest, but you want to have the right first steps to make sure that you can be successful later on.
And by the way, speaking of pruning, I mean, that also, this time of year, is something for people just with shrubs and things like that in their yard.
Absolutely. So it's not just fruit trees we're talking about. There are different things to be pruned. It's not on our list today, but we're looking at announcing another pruning class coming up sometime in January that focuses more on non-fruit producing trees. So maybe shrubs, bushes, and fruit producing bushes too.
Yeah, ironically enough, on my to-do list today, which seems to be going ballistically long, contacting one of the landscaping folks because I need to get that done in my yard. It's not a skill set I have. I don't have the equipment to do it, and I would probably do it incorrectly.
It's all good.
So, that's something to put on your list if you haven't. What else is coming up?
So after that pruning class, we're going to be doing a Farm Direct marketing course. That's going to be on December 11th. And this is sort of your A to Z on how and what and to sell from a farming from a farm or from a market garden. You know, how do you legally do it? How do you keep track of it? What can you and can't you sell? And how do you make sure that you are getting maximum production and profit out of your marketing strategy?
Some people like to sell through a farmer's market. Some people like to sell on site. And I know there's been a lot of talk, sometimes some controversy about rules for that. But the bottom line is you ought to at least be aware of what the rules are.
Absolutely. And we have the rules laid out before us so we can look at how do you sell directly from your farm at a farmer's market? How do you consign sales? And how can you sell online in today's market under our Farm Direct marketing rules? We're going to be looking at both vegetables, some food products like teas, and then also we'll cover eggs too.
And for some people, maybe over the years, either the size of their farm has gotten bigger or they've maybe shifted what they grow there, so how they sell it may change or may need to change too.
Absolutely. Especially if you've shifted enough where your growing season and thus your selling season is different too. These are good things to pay attention to, and it's really good to keep track of how you're doing, what you're doing, and when you're doing it.
By the way, speaking of farms, when I was in Italy a few weeks ago, one of the wineries we were at, I forget how many acres it was fairly significant. That land had been in that family since the 1300s.
That's so cool.
Now, they didn't do wine the whole time, obviously, but that's just amazing when you sit there on property that has been owned for 600 years plus.
Yeah.
By someone related to the person talking to you.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, what else do we have?
January 31st, we're going to be looking at doing another printing class. This one will be in town at the Westside Community Garden. So if you're closer to Roseburg and you want to attend that one, it's going to be from 11 to 1. Also free to sign up on the extension site. And then the big one, we are starting a new program this year called Weekend Warriors. It's going to start February 7th and go every other Saturday until April 18th. And that is sort of a truncated Master Gardener program where you can come and learn a whole bunch of stuff Saturday mornings from usually 8 to noon. And then when we finish in April, you don't have the volunteer requirements that the Master Gardener program does.
And this is basically overall learning of just about everything, right?
Yes. So we're going to be covering topics from plant disease diagnosis to soil science and everything in between. This program gets you entry to the Spring into Gardening program that we're going to be having on March 8th. So there is so many opportunities to learn.
Well, and because the Master Gardener format might not work for everybody, there's another way to learn a lot of this information.
Absolutely. This is a good way for folks that maybe don't have the time to volunteer but still want to learn that information, or maybe are looking to do opportunities on the weekends or that kind of thing.
All right. About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. If you look at agriculture, what do you see in the future for the Umpqua Valley?
That is a great question. As we continue seeing what's growing and what's doing well in the valley, we'll keep an eye out for which crops we should be producing here. One of the things that folks are focusing on right now are olives, and we'll see where that goes.
You feel like there's a potential for that to get bigger?
Maybe. We'll have to see how the market goes for the oil. We can produce oil here, and of course, there's a lot of varietal testing going on up north, and we got to see what that turns out as too.
And I'm guessing that things like shade and land elevation probably factor into that.
For sure. Closeness to a river, microclimate, shade, elevation, and varieties all factor into whether olives do well here or not.
All right. If people want to find out about any of these things coming up or have questions, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So check us out on Douglas County Extension. So just Google Douglas County Extension. Or you can shoot me an email at logan.bennett@oregonstate.edu.
Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.